Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast.
Welcome, Cut the Fat Podcast listeners. This is Blythe Alberg, and I am joined here in the virtual studio with Dr. Raymond Heinisch. Hey, Ray.
Hey, guys. How are you all doing? I hope you're having a great week.
I am.
Are you? Yes, I am.
Fantastic. You know, it's very rare these days that I have a bad week. I have bad days, but a bad week, you know, really doesn't happen that often. That's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. What to do when you have a bad day, as it pertains to weight gain, weight loss, or even just your overall plan for the day or week.
Right, because a lot changes in the brain when we're having a difficult time, right? When we're stressed out of our mind, for example, a lot changes that can make lifestyle shift very, very difficult. So I guess that's what today's podcast is all about. How do we handle those days? How do we survive those days, if you will?
Right. Okay. So emotions lead to feelings, and then, or feelings lead to emotions. You know, they play off each other. And then how you deal with those feelings and emotions is what we're going to be addressing today. So first of all, I want the listeners to listen to this. What is it for you that makes for a good or a bad day? What is it? Why Monday mornings do we have this preface of, oh, geez, here we go. It's Monday morning. What actually makes it a bad day, right? Is there anything particular for you that makes something a quote-unquote bad day?
Like, what are the rules, I guess, what are the rules that you kind of set for what determine a good day and a bad day? And for me, I would say a bad day is usually when I feel like I have no direction. That, okay, to me makes for what I would label a bad day. Like, I guess it's because, you know, I've got a lot of, I've got the wellness center, the nutritional pharmacy, the restaurant, and like being an entrepreneur, it's all, you know, all about productivity. Like, what can I fit in a day? And if I don't feel like I have direction, that just kind of, you know, takes me out.
Right. So organization is the key for you. You know, for some people, and I wrote some notes down, for some people, stepping on the scale, seeing the number that you don't want to see might make for a bad day. Maybe you wake up late for work or late for your day. You get a late start and you're rushing around. Maybe that makes you label that day a bad day. Maybe you listen to a sad song or you smell something that kind of, you know, is a sort of nostalgia, but maybe for a sad emotion or an upset emotion or a bad breakup or something like that. Maybe you forgot your food. Maybe you're feeling deprived of a certain food because you've been working really hard to meet your fat loss goals.
Maybe your kid gets sick, or, you know, it's some sort of extenuating circumstance, something that just pops out of nowhere. And just like that, a good day can turn to a bad day.
Right. And I can totally resonate with that one. You've got all these great productive plans and all of a sudden they can't happen because, right, your kid is sick or something happens that changes the day.
So why does all that matter, Blythe? Why is it so important?
All of this matters because what you might think creates or starts off as a bad day doesn't actually have to be a bad day. So I'm gonna talk about some particular subjects, and then I'm going to give you an answer on what to do to maybe see it from a different perspective.
Okay, great.
Let's do it. So one of the biggest things I want to talk about is, and this is probably because it rings really true to me, forgetting my food. Okay, so I know if I rush off to work, and this has happened several times in the last month, because I'm busy and the kids are on summer break and we've got no routine, I leave my food on the kitchen counter, my lunchbox on the kitchen counter. So I'm like, great, what am I going to do? Now I have to make all of these food choices. You know, what am I going to do? I'm probably going to fall off plan, or I'm going to eat something that because I'm hungry, but not something I necessarily want to eat or would choose to eat. It's not what was in my lunchbox, basically. So these are things that leave me, I guess, anxious maybe. It gives me a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress. And how I would relieve that is by planning what I can do from here. So instead of viewing it as a bad day, I'm going to say, you know what? There's a new salad place. I think it was called Protein Plus or something right up the road. And I am going to go try that place today. So I just have to come up, devise a new plan is basically what it comes up to. So having a plan B in the back of your mind is always a good way to offset a bad day. So basically what you have to do is pinpoint how you're feeling. So, well, I'm a little stressed out because I left my lunch at home and, you know, I'm not going to feel very good when I get home. I'm probably going to have less energy because I'm eating something I don't want to eat, right? It's escalating into this big thing for me. So I need to pinpoint exactly how I'm feeling and ask myself, why am I feeling like that when I can have a backup plan? So for a lot of people, it's the opposite of that. It's bringing their lunch and not choosing to eat that, right? So they might make an emotional choice because of something that's happened throughout the day. Maybe they ran late, they skipped breakfast, it's lunchtime, they're starving, they're going to go down to the pizza joint on the corner because, well, it's convenient. So once again, you have to pinpoint how you're feeling and ask yourself why you're feeling that way. You stop yourself before you take the action. And I know we've talked about changing your perspective before, but learning how to detach yourself from making food choices or immediate food choices without a plan is a good starting point for many people.
And I think the big thing that people need to really consider whenever you run into an obstacle like this is you want to be very careful not to allow obstacles to become excuses, right? I think a lot of people fall into that trap when they're trying to make food decisions because you want to eat something tasty. You want to eat some sort of junk food and you look for the first obstacle, the first little stone in the ground that you can trip over and say, oh, well, I might as well just get a donut.
Right, exactly. So, oh, I missed breakfast. Oh, geez, the only place that I have time to run to is, right, the donut shop or something like that. So stopping yourself before you make that choice, just having a new level of awareness before you make that choice. Because when you find yourself in a pinch like that, we tend to be a little more hasty with the choices that we make. Would you agree?
Yeah, because it's easy.
Absolutely. It's about easy. So going in each day, whether or not you have an obstacle, which there's pretty much an obstacle every single day.
Yep.
Yeah, everywhere you turn, there's a little pebble or stone or even a big boulder that you run into that becomes an obstacle for the day, depending on how you're feeling. So here's a few things that I suggest. Number one, on your way to work, do something that is – or I shouldn't say on your way to work because sometimes work is at home. There are stay-home moms who work harder than – those of us that go to work from 9 to 5, right? So doing something that's going to be uplifting for you first thing in the morning. It might be, meditating or starting your day off with a yoga class, or it might be something that gets you pumped up. Go for a 10 or 15 minute walk. Take the dog for a walk around the block. Do something that's going to get you energized first thing in the morning. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about when your adrenaline gets pumping through a workout and all of the great ideas that come to your mind, the level of positivity that happens when you do something like this upon rising is amazing. It's tremendous. It can help you organize your day. Do you find that doing something like that helps you become more organized and productive for the rest of the day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It reminds me of a story of a guy named Evan Pagan who was talking to Bill Phillips, who wrote the book Body for Life. Mm-hmm. And he asked him, he said, what is the one thing that determines success with health and body? And he thought for a second, he says, I can tell you what it is. It's the first meal of the day. He said, because that first meal is what will determine the success or failure for the rest of the day. Why? It's because of that whole obstacle to excuse thing, isn't it? When people don't start their day with a health mindset, when they don't start their day with something very healthy, and instead they eat something unhealthy, they give themselves reason, or they give themselves the excuse to give up on the rest of the day. He says, but when people start the day with something like exercise or with a healthy meal, they have a tendency to want to do healthier things for the rest of the day.
Right. And, you know, when you do something positive like that, it kind of snowballs and builds momentum through the day. So this is one of the positive things you can do to get your feelings and emotions set right for the day. And that's where I suggest that our listeners start with something early in the day. You know, there have been studies on people who have feelings of loneliness or anxiety and stress. And there was a study the Journal of Hormones and Behavior did on people who had a feeling of loneliness. And what they found is that their ghrelin levels shot up way quicker after a meal or a snack than somebody who wasn't feeling lonely, which is interesting because there's a hormonal response from that feeling. So how you would, you know, kind of backtrack and say, well, how am I going to not feel lonely? If that's something that you're experiencing, what are you going to do to help ease that feeling of loneliness? You know, exercising first thing in the morning. You can schedule a night a week, a game night with friends. You can go bowling on Friday night. There are so many things that you can do so you've got something to look forward to get you out of that lonely feeling that kind of leaves you dwelling in, well, loneliness. And you might even fall into the category of fat rat syndrome because loneliness leads to depression, which leads to maybe making poor choices. And then you're feeling lonely all over again, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So fat rat syndrome is something that you can certainly fall into when you're feeling like this. Anxiety is another popular one. A lot of people experience anxiety. And, you know, anxiety leads to stress. And when stress hits, your body releases adrenaline, right? This is like a squirt of fatty acids into your bloodstream that we were to use as energy. But like, say you almost get in a car accident or you're stuck in a traffic jam and your adrenaline releases, you've got an unhealthy snack with you in the car or there's a drive-thru nearby. Quite often, people are prepared to reach to that to kind of ease the stress that they're feeling. Now, this didn't used to be a problem when we got anxiety or stress because a saber-toothed tiger was on our trail, or we were being chased by like a woolly mammoth, right? Because at that moment, we're using that energy. But now we're really not using that same type of energy. So going back a step and doing the things to ease the anxiety and ease the stress is where we're going to be making more change.
Right. You got to get to the source. And, you know, it all starts with that. You know, we've talked about in the past how one suggestion for people who are emotional eaters is to not allow yourself to snack. Just don't snack. Why? Because emotional eaters have a tendency to eat when they get emotional. And if you don't allow yourself to snack in between meals, then you're forced to deal with the emotion at hand. You're not medicating it or dulling it with food and with calories and with carbs and with sugar. And so it forces you to deal with what's at hand.
Right. And be honest with yourself. If you're someone that notices, and I have got several clients who are here, and I think society supports emotional eating. Absolutely. I feel like people can make a lot of headway if they're honest with themselves and say, you know what? I am upset, but this time I'm going to go for a walk, or this time I'm going to do something else. One of my biggest suggestions is find something in your life that is purposeful and challenging. So set a new goal. When you feel like you're really stressed out and work is, or home life is the same thing over and over, find a new goal. Find something that's going to make you feel purposeful and find something that is a new challenge for you. So that was one of my tips. And I would love for people to come onto our Facebook page and share the challenges that they're setting for themselves, because number two is find a supportive community. You know, knowing somebody else is feeling like you. Ray, we just had a conversation about this. We were talking about being parents, and you said you feel alone sometimes, knowing that it's a challenge.
Right. The exact words I use is being a parent sucks, which it does. I love being a dad. I love being a father, but being a parent, it's tough, man. The constant responsibility. Where's you now?
We're never prepared. I feel like that's one of those things that you're never prepared for. But some people may feel the same about dieting, fat loss and getting a hold of their emotional eating issues. Another thing that I suggest that people do is go laugh, right? I know you've got a story about being a stand-up comic, but I think going to a comedy club is a super fun thing to do. Get together with a couple of friends, go to a comedy club, or even just go to a really funny movie. Even if maybe you don't feel in the mood, that's something that's certainly going to be uplifting to your spirits.
And I think the key here, you know, Blythe, because there are a lot of ways in which we attempt to recharge ourselves, and most of those ways are counterproductive. You know, like when we're feeling stressed, one of the things that a lot of us do is we take out our cell phone and we start, you know, going through Facebook or, you know, hopping on some sort of social media somewhere, expecting that to recharge us. And it does give us a bit of sensation because it disassociates us from our problems. It gets us into other people's problems. And it's easy to say, well, man, look at that person. Look at that person's life. I'm glad I'm not them.
Right. It's a distraction, not a solution.
It's not actually recharging you. And so the things that you're talking about is about real recharging, going, having a laugh, hanging out with family and friends and just having a good time, going to a yoga class, going for a walk with yourself. We know that the science is unequivocal on this. When you go for a walk, especially out in nature, you lower your cortisol, your stress hormone levels, which stabilizes blood sugars, get your brain back on board with lifestyle and health. So yeah, you've got to find ways that truly and honestly recharge your body.
Right. It's like setting a reset button, something as simple as going for a walk. I feel like so many people out there want it to be difficult, but the truth of the matter is it's so simple. It's almost too simple. Go for a walk. You start there. Another suggestion I had was stay busy. So I know that for me, and this is something I have not shared with you yet today, I have been getting ready for a show it's been about 10 days now. I don't have an actual show picked out, but I thought since I'm 42, I'm going to challenge myself to being in the best shape of my life at age 42, because, you know, I've had some stuff come up over the last few years. I've settled into a new marriage and, you know, kind of finding my way and making all of the pieces fit. And now I feel like I've finally got some foundation. So I thought I would set up a new challenge for myself, and I've been eating really clean and I feel absolutely amazing. And if anybody out there knows what it's like, which I'm sure most of them do, anytime you are maybe trying to eat only whole foods and kick out the processed foods, keeping yourself busy is key.
That's a good point, and especially because you're working on the side of the spectrum that is – I mean, when you're preparing for this, is what a bodybuilding show you're referring to?
It's a figure show.
Figure show.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. So, when you're working on the spectrum of you are really trying to get rid of every ounce of body fat that you can, so it doesn't get more obsessive than when you're preparing for a show like that. And your tip in those situations is to stay as busy as possible, so you're not thinking about food. And boredom is one of the number one things, I think, that derails people. Do you see that in your clients as well?
Oh, absolutely. And in myself. I mean, when I'm at home and I've got a couple of hours before I go pick the kids up from school or something like that, you know, I start thinking about, well, I know I'm not hungry, but what could I eat? You know, I start thinking like that. Right. Okay, well, I'll drink some water. And then I drink some water. I'm like, yeah, that didn't do the trick. Okay, I'm not actually hungry. Like, I know that I'm not, but what am I going to do? You know what? I'll take the dog to the park. And then that eats up a little bit of time. I have a great time. I feel better about myself. And I forget about what it was that I was focusing on that was almost a stressor. You know, thinking about the foods that I shouldn't be eating, or what can I prepare? You know, it's just stressful to think about food all the time.
It is, and unfortunately, we're forced to do that. You know, just sitting in front of a television set, you think about food at every commercial, because two out of three commercials are food commercials.
Oh my gosh! Or if you're watching shows like Chopped, which I'm excluding from my television watching time right now, because all of those foods are amazing, and so many of them are great whole foods. But, you know, it's temptation for me, and it's easier for me just not to watch. You know,
right,
that's something that works for me. So eating foods that make you feel good, stone fruits like peaches, plums, nectarines have been found to help with insulin resistance. They've got a phenolic compound that might even help modulate the expression of fat genes. Eating things that make you feel good about the choices that you're making are also key. So you might really think you want that Kit Kat, but if you go find a Palisade peach, I think you'll probably be just as happy, if not happier, that you made that choice because you feel better after eating it and you know that it was a healthy choice for you.
Yeah, very good.
Eat before you go out is a big tip that I've got for people. Okay, so I mentioned the comedy club or going hanging out with your friends or going bowling, but eating something at home while you've got the control over what you can have, quite often for me, and I'll say this out there for everybody, it's a good tip that really, really works for me, is I'll make a protein smoothie or a protein shake before I go out, usually something that's got 300 or 400 calories. So if I do go out, by the time all that's digested, any cravings for food are pretty much gone. And, you know, if I want to have a bite or two of something, I won't overindulge because, well, I'm already kind of full. So, you know, even if I were to go have vodka soda with my friends, I won't feel horrible about it because, well, I'm not going to be eating the fried foods that come with it. So at the comedy club or whatever. And the last one I have is find a simple stress reliever. Okay. A simple stress reliever for me is figuring out what to do for dinner. And I know it's all based around food. Food stresses me out. I know. But finding a good source of food choices that are safe, quote unquote, safe to choose from, crock pot recipes are the one go-to for me. Are you the cook in your family? Who cooks?
No, my wife is the cook.
Okay. And does she have a difficult time thinking? Do you guys have the same conversation that I do every night? So what do you want to have for dinner? I don't know. What do you want to have for dinner? Do you guys go through that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, she's got a much more expressive palate than I do. Like I am a very simple man with things like that. And with Sherry, she likes a whole lot more food. So when it comes dinner time, you know, and she wants to make something, you know, it's an ordeal. No doubt about it.
Yeah. So simplifying your life in this direction, if that's one that will work for you, you know, as a listener, is find a good crock pot recipe. I've been posting some recipes up on our Facebook page because number one, it's
people
like
love them.
People love them, right? Number one, people love them. Number two, they all taste amazing, at least to me. Number three, they're all whole foods. And number four, they take less than 30 minutes to prepare. And, you know, that is one of my favorite things. Crockpot is my all-time favorite because I can literally throw all the ingredients in the crockpot on my way to work, which takes 5, maybe 10 minutes if I have to slice or dice something. And when I come home, it's ready to go. Nothing better than that. Nothing relieves my stress in the evening than something like that. So finding a simple stress reliever, you know, and I encourage people to go onto our Facebook page and comment about the things that can be stress relievers. You might even go on there and read what works for others because, you know, I always do that. It always makes me think outside the box when I read about other people's ideas.
Systematization is the key to really easing up that pressure on our life. You know, when you have a system in place, you know, every night, for me, what I do, and me and my wife are very different in this front. She really doesn't have a lot of systems in place, and for me, it's a system. And so, like when it's bedtime, for example, and it's time to bring the kids up to bed, you know, I've got a system in place where I just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm done. You know, it's walk them up the stairs, get them to brush their teeth, get them in, rock them in the chair. Put them in their crib, go downstairs, get them a sippy cup of water, bring it upstairs, right. You know, kiss them goodnight and off I go. I'm done. You know, so it's right. A system and then down to take a shower immediately after I'm done. It's just like it's a natural system. I don't have to think about it. It just once it's started, it goes until it's done and then I relax.
Right. Awesome. So basically, to wrap up this podcast, I think the key for a lot of people here is to break the idea of what dictates whether you're having a good or a bad day. Once you make a choice that you're not happy with, you have all the rest of the minutes in the day to decide again whether it's going to be a good or a bad day. And learning how, teaching yourself how to break the current mood that you're in is going to be where a lot of people will find power.
Absolutely true. You know, and I was watching a recent video from Tony Robbins, and he said, you know, the second most important decision that you will ever make in your life is who you choose to share your life with, the person that you choose to share your life with. He says the first most important decision is the decision to control your state. And that's exactly what you're talking about, is there's never a moment, there's never a point in the day when you're unable to make a change. You're unable to change your state. You have total control over that. So when you let go of that, when you say, oh, it's a bad day and it's only 10 a.m., you're really just telling yourself a story. That is the wrong story to tell yourself, especially when you're trying to lose weight, burn fat, get fit.
Right. And there's a big connection between mood and emotions and reaching a goal of fat loss, weight loss, whatever it may be. There's a huge connection there. So this podcast, my intention with this podcast was to encourage people to recognize the power that they have when it comes to deciding how you're going to feel. You get to choose every day. People ask me all the time. In fact, I will tell you a story. I was still living in Baltimore, right? I wasn't too far from you. And I walked through the local Safeway one day, and I must have had a smile on my face, I guess. I don't know. I walked away from the bank, and, you know, it was not a fun bank visit. We had a credit report run, and we were trying to get a loan for a house and, you know, all this stuff. And it wasn't the answer I wanted to hear. I was having a bad day. Okay. That was before I took the kids to school in the morning. So, or preschool. They were, this was several years back. Anyway, so I'm walking through the grocery store and this man looks at me and he said, "What are you so happy about?" And I like stopped in my tracks and thought to myself, how does he even know I'm happy? I guess I must have had a smile on my face. I don't know. But I walked away from a difficult, unfun situation. And somebody recognized that I was feeling happy. And at that moment, I realized that I had the power over whatever it was that I was feeling and how I portrayed it to the world. And that was a big turning point for me. I then learned how to recognize, you know, I do have control over this, or I might be having a crappy day, but you know what? If I walk around and smile at the next three people, I bet they're going to smile back at me, and that's going to lift me up. So even expressing happiness and positive emotion will reflect that back to you.
It's a great story. And you know, I'll point out that, you know, we're here on Skype, you and I, and your Skype profile, when you look under your name, it says always happy. So, you know, you walk the talk, Blythe. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Don't think that life doesn't get rough sometimes. But
oh,
nobody does.
That's not what it's about anyway. That, you know, and unfortunately, this sometimes happens when in the world of social media, we look on everybody else's Facebook page and we see how life is so awesome for everybody else. But the reality is you're not really seeing their life. You're seeing the best parts of their life. People don't oftentimes post about all the negative things that happen in their life. They only post about all the good things. So that sometimes can make you feel worse when you're kind of wandering around social media seeing how great everybody else's life is, right?
Right. When's the last time you logged onto Facebook and you saw or you read somebody's update, being a parent sucks, right? Right? When is the last time that happened? That never happens. And, you know, I think we all fall into that sometimes, but the key is to recognize that you are in it with everybody else. And if you can find a community that's really uplifting to you, that's where the key is at. Uplift yourself, uplift others, and it will be returned right back to you.
There are only 2 days in a year that you can do nothing about: yesterday and tomorrow.
Oh, I love it. Hey, that's a good one. We should put that up on Facebook. That's a good one. I will make sure I take care of that one.
All right, you got it. Okay.
Awesome. Hey, guys, thanks for listening today. Be sure to log on to Facebook, Cut the Fat podcast and share us. We are over 8,000 likes already, Ray. And I was so excited when I logged onto Facebook the other day and clicked on our page and I saw that there was a little notification that said, congratulations. And I was like, woohoo, high five. I ran out into the living room and high-fived my husband. So I thought that I was like, I guess that was a goal that we were working toward. And I appreciate all of our listeners for making that happen. They made my month.
Well, on to 10,000, then to 100,000. How about that?
Yay! Yes. Well, that's where I was getting. So share us with your friends. We've got tons of information on our podcast out there. Share it. Educate your friends. Start that community that is going to uplift you.
That's right. And also check us out on cutthefatpodcast.com. Sign up there for the upcoming Cut the Fat Coaching Club.
Woo!
And where, Bly's happy little self will be in there every day, answering people's questions, helping you along. I will be in there every day, helping you along, answering your questions, getting you guys to make the change that you know you need to make. And, just making big impact in our life in the world of health and fitness. So
I'm really looking forward to being able to reach out to people like that. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye now.